May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I wasn't here yesterday. I was at the 50th celebration of the successful march that ended up in Montgomery with a bunch of people, and also early in the morning in a panel with some people from around the country, Christians, who part of a group called the Reconciled Church, just a movement, a body of Christ, to finish this thing, at least in the body of Christ, about racial reconciliation. It's really powerful. But I miss being here. I always miss being here. I wrote this down in my Bibles a while back, and I forget who this quote was about. It was about some adventurer, maybe a Christian adventurer, but I don't remember. I tried to look it up on the computer, and I couldn't find it. But it's always meant a lot to me, and it's one of those things I pray, God, I would love for this to be said about me when people look back over my life. And this is a simple statement. Speaking of whoever this person was, he said, he always looked out on life as though he expected doors to open before him through which he would pass into magic realms. And I believe that's a great description of a person or people who carry, who are spirit-filled people who carry the risen Christ within them. Now hear it again, it's an awesome statement. He always looked out on life as though he expected doors to open before him through which he would pass into magic realms. I think of C.S. Lewis's book and the Chronicles of Narnia, and they use the word magic in a holy way, just supernatural things. And the last time I was here, the other day on Tuesday, I quoted from this passage in chapter 2 of 22 of the life of Jesus. I think that could obviously be said about Jesus. Jesus lived his life on earth as man, filled with the Spirit, expecting always for doors to open for him, for God to do things that are inexplicable except in terms of who the Father was. He always expected to open doors and walk into places that were supernatural realms. And this is what it says in verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man approved to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. We just talked about a fact that the genuine article to the Father, God says, here is the genuine article. This is a man or woman who I approve of as the real deal. Is a person, it says, approved to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him. Not just a man or woman through whom God performs, but the characteristic of their life should be one that's supernatural. There should be something miraculous about their life. That's a normal person from God's perspective. That is normal Christianity. Like I said the other day, brown bag, blue collar, run-of-the-mill, pail-carrying Christianity. Not the super deluxe model for a few people who have books written about them. Just average Christianity. There should be something miraculous about a Christian. Signs and wonders should follow them everywhere they go. And when you read through the book of Acts, and we're doing this on Sunday morning studying, but I'm just hanging out there all the time now, just little tidbits that are here, things that speak to me so profoundly. When Peter and John participated in the healing of this man who had been lame since birth, and he would go by, you have friends or family that would set him at the gate beautiful every day, and he would beg for alms, and they were carrying him on the way. And as Peter and John passed him, the Holy Spirit obviously spoke a word to their heart, and they stopped and they looked at him. And they said to him, look at us. And he began to give them attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. That's amazing. You can't give what you don't have. But he says, what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ and Nazarene walk. I love that verse. What I do have, I give to you. And I was just pondering that in prayer this morning. And we'll, for CTKers, you'll hear some of these things again in longer forms on Sunday mornings, but probably as much as I can in this form and on Sundays, we'll be doing Acts. What I do have, I give to you. And it's kind of like this thing that came up in me to say, Chuck, you just say to the people, if you have it, give it. And if you don't have it, get it. Whatever you want to call it, you need it. If you have it, give it. If you don't have it, get it. It's really that simple. Because whatever that is, it's a promise from God. And so put yourself in a position where you seek him until you experience the promise. It's not like God's going to hold it back. He's promised it. He just, anyway. I love that. What you have. Now, here's the thing. Here's the whole point. They knew they had it. They knew had been filled with the Spirit of God. They knew they had the resurrected power of Jesus. They knew they had supernatural, miraculous signs and wonder life in them so they could give it. You have to know that or you won't walk in faith. But here's the thing I want you to see. It says in verse 16, as he's explaining what happened when a man got healed, he said, well, so on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. It's a wild verse. On the basis of faith in his name. But then he goes on and says, and the faith which comes through him. Well, wait a minute. Is it faith in him or faith that comes through him? Is it faith in his name or faith that comes through him? There's a contradiction there. This is one of those scriptures that's troubled me forever, because it makes no sense grammatically. I thought it's faith in his name. Now you're saying it's the faith that came through him. Well, did it come through him or did it come in him, in his name? Yes, that's the answer. Because here's the deal. Faith comes through relationship with him. The way you grow in confidence of all that he is in you that you're able to give away is in intimacy. And so we come back to that thing. If you're going to live a supernatural life, it's fueled out of presence. Out of his presence that's cultivated in time alone with him. Faith does come through him. As you spend time with him, as you hang out in his presence, faith rises up in you. Then you're able to go out and give in the name of Jesus. Then you have faith in his name. And you can pronounce things that happen and make people get healed and miracles happen. Things change. You see, Jesus said, if you only have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and it'll be removed. And so you know where mustard seed comes from and beyond mustard seed comes from? Faith? Alone with him, in his presence. Because faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. And he is the word, right? He's the voice. And so as we get alone with him and he speaks his words into us, you know what happens? He deposits faith. He waters faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. In his presence, his word waters that faith. So it's alive and vibrant so that when we go out into the world, we have confidence that what we have, we can give. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.